I just noticed on Twitter, we're going to talk NFL preseason, week one, a lot of the first games last night. Andy just mentioned Darius Geis, the rookie running back out of Washington, tearing his ACL out for the season.
Yep.
Okay, that's number 12. Number 13 just came down a minute ago. Colts wide receiver Deion Kane, a surprise standout during training camp after being taken in the sixth round, has suffered a torn ACL and is out for the season, according to head coach Frank Reich. Running back Marlon Mack is week-to-week with a hamstring. That is now, based off of our rough guesstimation, 13 torn ACLs so far, and it is August 10th. And we've got
not even
six,
all the first
six
game,
teams that haven't even played a preseason game yet.
Yeah, yep. I mean, absolutely devastating. You know, I saw the announcement that he had left the game, the Colts wide receiver, that he had left that game. You know, of course, we're keeping our eye on that. But, you know, they reported that he had a knee injury and he wasn't going to return. But that was, you know, a lot of people following that game because of Andrew Luck, because that was Andrew Luck's return.
No doubt.
After all those days of not playing. So, terrible injuries. I mean, we just can't seem to get away from them. A lot of big injuries so far in the and there's going to be more. I mean, you said the average is 23. We've got 13 right now. We're probably going to top 23.
Probably.
I mean, by the time we've got three more weeks to go, we'll probably end up topping 23.
Before we move on to the rest of the preseason from last night, here's Jay Gruden talking about guys.
I can see, sir, he's a guy that he doesn't like to carry the ball three times. He needs to carry the ball 15 times. And he actually told me before the game, says, I don't want it three times. If you're going to give it three times, don't even put me in. So we tried to get a little lather for him going, and he popped the long run. And unfortunately, I think he's got a leg tangled up in the turf. So just one of those unlucky plays that unfortunately happened to all players from time to time.
Hey, Coach Gruden, I got news for you. You're the coach of the Washington Redskins. If you don't want him to play, you don't have to have him play. Not up to him. It's up to you.
This is such a tough, like, there's no answer for this.
No, there isn't.
You know, we had the Hard Knocks Todd Haley arguing with Hugh Jackson over to play or not to play.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackson saying, man, you don't sit in his chair. You don't know what it's like to not have those guys available at all. And Todd Haley's like, look, you know, we're pampering these guys. We got to get them out there. They got to play. And then you see, you know, Darius Geis on the sideline, you know, wasn't even able to make it back to the bench. It was a first quarter run, and he was literally on the ground in pain, not even able to make it back, and now the rookie season is over. So there is, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with Hugh Jackson or Todd Haley. I really don't know what I agree with because they're both right. I mean, Hugh Jackson's right. You know, we want to try to get these guys through training camp without being injured. Todd Haley's right. Well, we got to get these guys to play. Like, they got to practice, got to play. They got to get. I don't know what. I really, honestly, don't know what the answer is. I think they're both right, and I think they're both wrong. There is no real answer for what to do.
Yeah, it's just a dilemma. If you're a coach, how much to use these guys, and that's why we'll see tomorrow just how cautious Steve Wilks is with Sam Bradford. He said all four is going to play. We'll see exactly how long Sam Bradford plays in that game.
Geis was the number 59 pick in the draft. They were counting on him.
Oh, yeah.
They were counting on him.
Wasn't there
time.
Some belief that he was the second best running back in this draft behind Saquon Barkley?
Yeah.
And now he's done. He's gone for the year. But what are you supposed to do? Not use them at all in the preseason? Only give a rookie running back who's never had a carry in his life 10 carries for the preseason? I mean, at what point do you say, we can't avoid this risk. We've got to get him ready for his first NFL season.
Redskins had 23 players go on injured reserve last season. 23.
Yeah.
The Redskins. And now they've got, like, their first-round pick, Darren Payne, hasn't practiced with an ankle injury. Now you've got Geis out. I mean, but last 23 players on injured reserve last season. That's crazy.
You mentioned Andrew Luck playing his first football game in 500-some-odd days.
Just trying to control my emotions, and I just sort of said, screw it. I'm going to go out whatever I want to think and I want to feel, I'm going to feel it and let that happen. And it was a little bit like pressure was off of me, in a sense. And I really had fun. Like, I really enjoyed it.
6 of 9, 64 yards. They let him on 2 field goal drives.
Yeah, good to get him back. And there was a lot of things when you were looking at the games last night, but I don't think anything was, you know, Andrew Luck playing after the surgically repaired shoulder, you know, got hit a couple of times, got sacked in a game against Seattle, but he had not played since week 17 of 2016.
585 days.
That's a lot of days to go out there and get those series out of the way. I'm sure he felt good. What stood out to me, honestly, Baker Mayfield, number one pick in the draft, showing why Cleveland took him first overall. I mean, Tyrod Taylor looked really good as well. That's a real battle there between Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. I mean, that is a real battle. Mayfield came in, played fantastic, threw two touchdowns in two-plus quarters, 11 out of 20, 212 yards. He converted a couple of fourth-down plays with his feet. He found that rookie wide receiver for a touchdown pass, Antonio Callaway. But Tyrod Taylor, he was good too. Had five passes, completed them all for 99 yards and a touchdown. That looks like it's going to be a pretty good competition to see who's going to be the starter.
The former the ESPN commentator, Booger McFarland, was talking about Baker Mayfield.
You talk about the pre-snap reads, his ability to put the running backs in situation to pick up the blitz. Once the ball was snapped, his ability to climb the pocket, a la Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. The one question I had was, the windows are a lot tighter in the National Football League than they were at Oklahoma. Could he put the football with accuracy in tight windows? I think we all saw in that touchdown throw to Antonio Callaway, Baker Mayfield put the ball in that window. So everything that you thought a number one pick was supposed to be, Baker Mayfield was that tonight.
The two other rookie quarterbacks, it wasn't the debut for Lamar Jackson. He, of course, played in the Hall of Fame game. Last night, Lamar Jackson, the rookie out of Louisville, was 7 of 18 for 119 yards.
Very inconsistent, very inaccurate with the passes. That's one of the reasons why the Cardinals did not like him, the accuracy.
Josh Allen.
He missed on a lot of passes.
My apologies. Josh Allen, 9 of 19, 116 yards and a touchdown.
Word out of Buffalo is he is just way behind Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron. Both of those guys played well in that game. But the word right now early is that Josh Allen is behind not only A.J. McCarron, but also Nathan Peterman.
Peterman was 9 for 9 for 119 yards and a touchdown.
Yep. Whew. Absolutely.
McCarron, 7 of 10 for 116 yards in the second quarter. Yeah, I we all kind of knew Allen was going to be a project, though, didn't we?
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, because he's the guy that went to Wyoming, and he didn't play against the best competition. And he's got this strong arm and everything, but the experience level, the guys that he was playing with and the guys that he was playing against were not the caliber of NFL players that Baker Mayfield went up against, that Josh Rosen went up against, that Sam Darnold went up against. So that was the difference with Allen, just trying to get used to a different style of play.
Something else to keep in mind, something that popped to me a little bit in last night's action, the San Francisco 49ers watched three projected starters and two key backups leave their game with a variety of injuries. Linebacker Malcolm Smith, tight end George Kittle, defensive lineman Solomon Thomas, running back Matt Breida, and tackle Gary Gilliam all left that game because of injuries and did not return. I've only seen an update on the running back, Matt Breida. Apparently his shoulder came back good, but they're going to hold him out of contact drills for the next two preseason games and probably actually all of the preseason games so that he can get healthy. But the San Francisco 49ers, five different guys had to leave that game last night.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do at running back. They lost Carlos Hyde. They picked up Jerick McKinnon from Minnesota. He's 25 years old. I think they like him. That's a lot of injuries to have. I mean, that's a devastating amount of, you know, first preseason game to lose three guys like that.
Join Aaron Maloney and Arizona Sports tomorrow. Volkswagen North Scottsdale from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. giving away Cardinals preseason and D-backs tickets, movie passes, and more. They'll also be hosting an Adopt-a-Dog event in conjunction with the Halo Animal Rescue. There's also going to be an on-site food truck there. Go to the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Maybe you can or will adopt a dog with Aaron Maloney tomorrow. Volkswagen North Scottsdale, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Diamondbacks will try to take advantage of a struggling Reds team this weekend, and a key to the offense is coming from an unlikely source. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.
Diamondbacks baseball, 4:10 this afternoon. You'll hear it on ESPN 620 KTAR. You'll also be giving constant updates here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station when this game starts at 4 o'clock. The Arizona Diamondbacks taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Off day for the Diamondbacks yesterday, Gambo. And now the start of a stretch, nine games, nine-game road trip. All three teams are going to play during this road trip are not only below 500, they are significantly below 500. This is a perhaps potential season-defining stretch for the Arizona Diamondbacks, depending on what they can do during these next nine games.
I think they have no choice but to go out there and just really play great baseball. Try to win 7 out of 9. 8. What you don't want to do is you don't want to come back 5-4. 6-3 is acceptable. 7 wins is great. 8 wins is fantastic. But you are playing some bad baseball teams. You really are. The Reds are not a good baseball team. And that's where it all starts right now in Cincinnati. You know, you're going to play the Padres 1-2 out of 3 against Milwaukee. So, you know, it's hard to say that these teams have quit on the season and not playing well when the Padres just went 1-2 out of 3 from the Milwaukee Brewers. But for the most part, you know, you got to figure that this is your best opportunity to try to, you know, try to win some games against bad baseball teams. And the other good thing is that they're a good road team. The Diamondbacks are a good road team. They've always had success on a road this year. They've got to take that to their advantage.
They're 32 road wins. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm just looking at that right now, as a matter of fact. Their 32 road wins are tied for the third most in the National League. The only two teams who have more road wins than the Arizona Diamondbacks are the Atlanta Braves, who have 34, and the LA Dodgers, who have 33 so far on the season. The Diamondbacks away from home are 32-23 on the season. They're tied with the Colorado Rockies for the third most road wins in the National League. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been very good. And so that is another element to the equation of what makes this nine-game stretch so good. I don't know why they've been better on the road than they have at home. It kind of defies logic and explanation. But if that's who they are and that's what they're about, if you're going to be better on the road, this is a good week and a half for you to go be better on the road against nine teams, all of which that are substantially below 500.
Well, the Reds get Joey Votto back today. He's, you know, he had missed the last couple of games, but he's expected to be back today, for the game. This season, the Reds just got off to a really, really rough start. They had two major injuries. Duinio Suarez, Scott Schebler, they both went on a DL the same day. The Reds went 1-9 with Schebler on a DL. They went 3-13 with Suarez on the DL. And then they just never really recovered from the injuries to two of their best players. And they've been in a kind of a funk ever since. I mean, they're just, you know, not a good baseball team. They've got some good players, but they're just not a good baseball team.
Let's take a look at the standings brought to you by the Negrete Law Firm, Arizona's hometown law firm, at negretelawfirm.com. The Diamondbacks open today's action at 64-52 in a dead heat with the LA Dodgers, who won last night against the Colorado Rockies. They're both 64-52 in the wild card standings. It is a real cluster near the top of that. The Milwaukee Brewers are currently the leader for the number one wild card position. They have a one-game lead over three teams that are separated by just a handful of percentage points.
The Braves and eight teams within five games of each other.
And eight games within five teams of each other. Yeah. The Braves, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers are all percentage points away, followed by the Cardinals and the Rockies, who are both 3.5 back. The Pirates, who are 4 back. The Nationals, who are 4.5 back. It is a cluster in the wild card standings right now.
Where scoreboard watching gets fun. I mean, because you're watching what Milwaukee's doing, what Atlanta's doing, what Philly's doing, what the Cardinals are doing, what the Rockies are doing, the Pirates, the Nationals. All these games matter so much. Eight teams within five games of each other for the wild card. That's so wide open, too. And then this pennant race in which the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers were in the middle of August, and they're tied with the exact same record.
Yeah, the lineup for tonight, and it's going to take advantage, clearly, of what has been working very well for the Arizona Diamondbacks as of late. David Peralta, who has just been smokingly hot right now, is batting leadoff for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they take on the Reds today. He has been terrific. Eduardo Escobar, we've spent a lot of time talking about him the last couple of days and whether the Diamondbacks would try to retain him at the end of the season. He has been tremendous. He's hitting cleanup tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Who's batting eighth?
Look who's batting eight.
Alex Avila, back in the lineup again.
Hey, you know what?
Starting to swing the bat a little bit better. I mean, he's got his batting average up to like 178, I think.
Since coming off the DL, his numbers are not bad.
Yeah, he still is having a terrible, terrible season, but he's turned it around. I mean, we were talking about whether his batting average would get under 100. Now you're looking at, boy, can he get to 200? I mean, can he get his batting average to 200? And Lovello's actually playing him quite a bit. I mean, he's playing more than John Ryan Murphy right now. I mean, you got Mathis.
Well,
He's hitting the ball a little bit.
I was just going to say, if we're being honest about it right now, he is the better offensive option over John Ryan Murphy.
He has actually hit the ball well. Good for him. You know, you need him. I mean, they need it. I was very disappointed in him. I called him out plenty of times for the first 3 months of the season. But in the last month of the season, he's gotten some hits.
Yeah, he was activated off the disabled list on July 7th. And I just ran a quick check of his numbers. Since coming off the DL, now granted, not a ton of at-bats, because he's not playing in a ton of games, but since July 7th, Alex Avila is hitting .343 with two home runs, eight RBIs.
Running the hot hand out there, Alex Avila.
With an OPS of over 1,100. Again,
I better send a limo out to Reno to go pick him back up.
Again, a really small sample size, but to the point where John Ryan Murphy has now become kind of the forgotten man in that catcher trio.
Listen, I mean, if Lovello can't, you got to go with the hot hand now. I mean, this is it. You got to go with your horses. Who do you think's playing the best? If Avila's playing better than Murphy, you go with Avila. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, do I expect him to keep this up for the next 6 weeks? Probably not, because he's been an awful baseball player all year. But he's put together a little bit of a stretch here where he's played well, and he's got his batting average up to .178. I mean, it's not even near being respectable.
Yeah.
But he's played well in stretches here over the last couple of weeks.
Tonight's pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Clay Buchholz, who has just been spectacular this season for the Diamondbacks, gets the start. He's 5-1 with a 2.68 ERA. Anthony DeSclafani is getting the start for Cincinnati tonight. 5-3 with an ERA right around 5.
Yeah, you know, and he's pitched 59 2/3 innings, got that 5-3 mark. He has a 4.98 ERA, 50 strikeouts and 18 walks in the matchup. And Buchholz had 57 innings, 5-1 record. He's got a 2.68 ERA, like you said, 51 strikeouts in 57 innings and 14 walks. He's been, you know, almost a blessing for them. You know, what he's given them, the shot in the arm he's given them after Taiwan Walker went down, he's been terrific for them.
There's a note in this morning's Arizona Republic that Buchholz has made 10 starts with the club, has allowed more than 3 runs in a start on just one occasion. Clay Buchholz has not had a stretch like that since 2013.
Everybody keeps waiting for, like, the dam to break. Like, okay, he can't keep this up. You know, all these metrics and there's no, but he keeps just going out there and pitching well.
Yeah.
He's a veteran pitcher with a World Series ring and experience, and he knows how to pitch.
Let's get you some keys to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by your Valley Chevy dealers, the most awarded and fastest growing brand 4 years in a row. Find your Chevy today. Visit valleychevy.com.
All right, Keymaster, what do you got?
I'm going to go with keep Scooter Gennett off the bases. I mean, the Reds are not a good baseball team, but they got a couple of players. Like I said, they have some good players. Gennett leads the Reds this year with hits, runs, homers, RBIs. Him and Jose Perez have both been really good. And make sure that you don't make any mistakes to Scooter Gennett, because he's having a good season.
All right. The game is coming up on ESPN 620 AM. You'll be able to hear it there at 4:05, but we promise we will keep you completely updated on the game here on the Burns and Gambo Show when it starts at about 4:05. So you'll keep it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And we promise when something happens, we will let you know about it. When we come back on this Friday, the media is picking them to finish last in their division, but a new ranking could provide some hope for ASU in the Pac-12 South. We'll tell you how next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Welcome to the NFL on EA Sports.
Madness.
We're one for one so far today when it comes to the Madden 19 drop.
Giving away another one right now. All right, let's do it.
Tim Jackson, you have 9 minutes to call 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870, Tim Jackson, you have 9 minutes to call.
Could be a common name. Could be a lot of Tim Jacksons out there, right? Jackson.
But if you're the Tim Jackson who texted Madden to 620-620 to register at some point this week, you're our guy. Earlier in the 2 o'clock hour, we gave one away to Jeremy Hofford. If you're Tim Jackson, you have 9 minutes to call us at 602 860-9870, preferably if you're the Tim Jackson who texted Madden to 620-620 earlier this week. If Tim doesn't call in within the next 9 minutes, we will take a random caller for the Madden 19 copy. Tim Jackson, 9 minutes to call 602-260-9870. We talked about the Camptona Zona trip. It was apparently not uneventful for ASU. You know, I told you they climbed to the top of Mount Cush there.
Right.
I guess Herm Edwards took a little spill as he was walking.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't.
He fell.
He didn't say.
Oh,
he didn't say how far he fell. He didn't say. He didn't say how. You know. I can't imagine it was like him. You know, tumbling over and over and over and over again down the mountain, but he just might have slipped.
Coming down, I slipped. Yeah, I got there. I left, and when I went down, it's good. I left a little bit of me on Camp Cush. It's all right. On the mountain, I'm good.
Right.
But I wasn't the only one. I was the first guy to go. I beat the team up there, and I had a sign, you know, and when the buses arrived, and so I was up there already. I went early, and actually kind of we knocked out a path, you know, to show them where the stakes were to follow. And some of those guys, they wanted to make their own path. They're going, and, you know, some guys kept going. I guess there's two mountains, obviously, and there's one that kept going. And so it was a good day.
He was
good for him. I mean, 64 years old, he's running up the damn hill. Good. Good for you, Coach.
Yeah, I know, right?
You fell down. So what?
You've said it many times, and you're right. I mean, there's not every 64-year-old is built the same way, right?
No. I love his energy. I love it.
I think we all aspire, when we're 64, to attack 64 the way Herm Edwards is 64.
Listen, he's living
life to the
fullest.
I hope I'm like that when I'm 64.
He's got a lot of energy. He's out there. He's running up hills because I beat everybody up the hill. He was the first one up. Climbed Mount Cush before the team. He talked about the stakes. And, you know, he did talk about the, you know, the accommodations are difficult, but it's really about the bonding. That's why I thought it was important, because they were going to practice up there. He still wants to keep the tradition alive. They tried group singing, the fight song, and all of that stuff. So he wants to get the bonding part of it down. He's on board with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you see the field, you know, I mean, it's a little wider. I don't know if you guys have been up there, but it's beautiful. Setting is beautiful. The accommodations are hard. The accommodations are the accommodations, you know, but it's really about the bonding of it. And that's why I thought it was so important. Because if we weren't going to practice up there, I still wanted to keep tradition alive of the young guys going up there knowing that, hey, we're going up there now.
I'm laughing because, look, we've had the Herm Edwards conversation 1,000 times, right?
Right.
Neither one of us were big fans of the hire. We didn't like the process. We didn't.
But we're rooting for him.
But we're rooting for him.
Yeah.
And if we're wrong, so be it. Doesn't bother either one of us at all if we're wrong about it.
I hope I'm wrong.
But, man, I keep saying this about Herm Edwards. He is just, I could listen to that guy talk all day long. I really could. He has just got that magnetic, charming personality. I mean, yeah, you know, the accommodations, not so great. You know, I mean, some guys would kind of play cooler than that, but they're not that great. You know,
it's 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was fine. It was beautiful. But now, again, I say this all the time. I mean, the technology, the ability, what they have now, the facilities that they have now, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave that, the friendly confines of Tempe, to head on up to Camptona Zona, because it is. It's just everything, all the accommodations, all the technology, the facilities are just not in line with what they have already.
Yeah, no, they're not at all. They're not at all. He thinks that honoring Coach Cush is very important for his program to do.
I think it was important historically, when you think about how that was created by Coach Cush. I can remember watching it, you know, and knowing that I was getting recruited here. And I wanted to honor the man and what he stood for here, but also college football. He's one of the greatest college football coaches ever coached football. And I think sometimes that's not talked about a lot.
Yeah, so they went and they honored him. And now they're back, and now they're getting ready for a season. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but I do know this. On ESPN, you know how you've got all these conferences, right?
Yeah.
And within each conference, you've got divisions. And in the Pac-12, you've got the North and the South. And ASU's obviously part of the South. ESPN ranked the Pac-12 South as the worst division among the Power 5 conferences.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm really not surprised. When you look at the North, you've got Washington, which is... You got the big game against Auburn. You've got Stanford, a perennial powerhouse. You got Oregon. So you got some really good teams there. When you get to the South, I mean, USC, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, ASU, UCLA is not going to be good this year. There's some teams that could be really bad this year.
Yeah, I see nothing but question marks. I see nothing but uncertainty. I think in part,
the bowl problems.
The what?
The bowl.
Well, yeah. There's no doubt that's part of it. But I think part of it too is, I mean, look, UCLA lost Rosen. USC lost Darnold. I think in part that's the reason why U of A is getting this kind of
some
rash of preseason love right now. People look at this division and go, it's a down year across the board. So why can't the team with the Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, why can't they be the team that wins that division? Why can't they be the team that goes to the Holiday Bowl or some good bowl that a Pac-12 team can go to? Now, I think the good news for ASU is that a lot of people have picked them last in the Pac-12 South. If the competition really is that weak this year, it might give ASU a chance to be a little more even with some of those teams and not finish last in the Pac-12
South. Yeah, I don't think they'll finish last. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I would probably pick UCLA to finish last, you know, if I had to, you know, pick one right now. I just don't, I think that UCLA is worse.
Yeah, UCLA has got some struggles. Meanwhile, more from Coach Herm Edwards. Manny Wilkins changing the offense a little bit, and you're going to see Manny under center a little bit more this year.
We're going to do some things a little bit different, especially probably in the run game. A little bit under center, which is good. I wanted to do that. I think that's important. But he's been really good. I mean, he is sharp. He has a feel of it, and I think the players trust him. When he's on the line, you know, he can make some calls to get out of things when he sees certain things.
I got to imagine that is one of the things that Herm Edwards appreciates taking on this program in the first year.
Having a veteran quarterback?
At least he doesn't have a newcomer quarterback
right? Maddie's got 23 starts under his belt. I mean, you know, he could run the ball, he could pass, and you got a great wide receiver, N'Keal Harry. I mean, they're fine. I mean, special teams, you got your kicker back in Brandon Ruiz. You got some good players back on defense. I think the most important thing is, there are eight returning starting quarterbacks in this conference. I mean, so, you know, you lost Rosen and you lost Darnold, and it was a lot of fanfare with those guys. But there are eight returning starting quarterbacks in the conference. So, you know, the ASU's not alone in that category. But the Pac-12 South being down, I think people expect that. I mean, last year, the Pac-12 overall went 1-8 in the bowl games. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last time in the playoffs, Washington got hammered by Bama 24-7 in 2016. I just don't think this conference is really, I think they're looked at as the weakest of the major conferences.
Yeah.
I think they are.
And that's why, given how much abuse they took nationally last year, not getting a team in the Final Four, going 1-8 in the bowl season.
Five new coaches in the conference.
Washington is carrying a mighty burden this year. A mighty burden. When it comes to this conference,
if they lose that game to Auburn, right off the bat, that's not good for the conference.
Oh,
that's going to be really, really bad for the conference because everybody's looking at Washington, and you know they've got nine starters back on defense. Their defense was top eight in the country last year nationally. They're that good, but that September 1st game against Auburn, that's a big one. I mean, you got Jake Browning back; he's a senior, he's fantastic. You got your running back Miles Gaskin back. I mean, a lot of people look at Washington and say, okay, I mean, if anybody's going to come out of the Pac-12, it's them. But that September 1st game against Auburn, it's coming up in a few weeks. That's the telltale sign for not only for Washington, but I think for the conference.
Yeah, Tim Jackson did not call. Gambo, I need you to come up with a number.
Oh, I don't want to do 20 for the amount of years that you and you want to do 20. Let's do 20. This is Burnsy. We're celebrating today the 20th anniversary of Dave Burns at this radio station. 20th anniversary. We all got free pizza. Yep, free pizza.
Free pizza.
And salad.
And salad. And cookies, too.
And cookies.
There were cookies, too.
So in honor of...
it was a feast.
In honor of you, your 20th year, I don't want to say 20 more, you know, but...
I don't know if I'd...
I don't think...
20 more is...
Here's to 20 more!
20 more. I don't know. I'd be 67 at the end of that run. I'm not...
No, you probably will go 20 more. you are.
That would be... That would be a long career at one station. That'd be a long career.
You'll still be hanging around somehow.
So caller number 20. This is what we're doing?
Yeah, let's do caller number 20.
Caller number 20 at 602-260-9870. Thank
honor
you for
of
that,
20th
by the way.
Anniversary for Dave Burns. Well, thanks for the free pizza today. Thanks for not getting fired all those years.
It's my pleasure. Not getting fired and nobody else wanting me for 20 years.
Yeah, that was good.
That's really all I've accomplished.
Got a free lunch on you because of that.
Caller number 20 at 602-260-9870. You will win a copy of Madden 19, but you got to be caller number 20. The Cardinals have added a new player today. But could another, much more high-profile player be coming to Arizona as well? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Friday here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Arizona Cardinals did make a move today. Tim Scott, cornerback, signed to a one-year contract. He was with the Giants, Redskins, Browns, and Cowboys. He was an undrafted free agent in 2015 out of North Carolina. They did have a spot on the 90-man roster open because of the surgery and the injury to A.Q. Shipley. So they needed to add somebody. It comes at a position where, you know, we're like secondary coach David Merritt said, we're in the closet, the lights are off, and we're looking for shoes, right? There are good shoes in there, but we're looking for a shoe to match the one that we've already gotten, Patrick Peterson. But you don't think Tim Scott is that shoe?
No, I think he's a camp body more than anything. I mean, just a roster spot, you fill it in. But you never know. Maybe he'll get a look. I mean, if Brandon Williams plays poorly, his job could be on the line. But I think more than anything else, I think he's probably a camp body. I think his chance to make the team, I think is slim. I'll say it's slim. To bring in a guy like this, you know, first preseason game's tomorrow, it's – the chances of him making the roster, I would say, is slim. But you never know with injuries and poor play by somebody. And if he plays well, he's got plenty of time to prove himself. But my gut feeling right now, it would be hard for him to make the roster.
You think Brandon Williams might be?
I think,
I don't want to say trouble, but he's got some work to do, doesn't he?
I think a lot of work to do.
He's got some work to do this camp and this preseason. He's got to do something to impress, because if he doesn't, and you start making those hard decisions, Brandon Williams is a guy that might, I don't know, you think when it's all said and done, might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, it could be. It'd be, you know, you almost feel like you want to give him that third year, right? With these guys, you almost like Kim Dichi, Dragan Bender, like you almost feel like a lot of these guys, like, I need a third year. But there are some times when you're like, okay, you get a fourth year and a fifth year with a guy and it still doesn't work. Alex Len. You know, sometimes it doesn't work when you've got a guy for a certain amount of time. And you just, you know, do you know what you have in the guy or not? After 3 years, if you're still not sure of what you have in the guy, man, it's tough. You know, it's tough because you feel like, okay, I don't want to keep hanging on to this guy and wasting a roster spot. I mean, Brandon Williams, the only thing we remember about Brandon Williams is how well he played in his rookie season in the preseason, in training camp. Hasn't done anything. Came out against New England that first game and got torched by the New England Patriots. And it was like, oh, yeah, he's not ready to play. Yeah, everything. So we're so excited about it in the preseason that he went out there and he played against the Patriots. Like, yeah, get him off the field. Please, hurry. He's not ready. If he's still not ready now?
Yeah.
You got to start thinking, okay, he's never going to be ready.
Especially, you talk about, you know, kind of trying to get that third year out of the guy, especially when you're talking about a player like Brandon Williams, who, let's be honest, was an experiment to begin with, right? 1 year in a major college program as a cornerback. All of the skills in the world, but only 1 year in college as a member of the secondary, as a defensive back. So the Cardinals drafting him was a bit of a high-profile experiment to begin with. A guy like that might be less likely to get a third year than like a Robert Kimdichie or somebody else, because at least with Brandon Williams, you can say, well, we kind of took a flyer on the kid anyway. He was transferring from running back to secondary, and it didn't work out. Let's cut our losses and move on. You might be more inclined to do that with somebody that you were experimenting with, as opposed to someone like Kimdichie, who you know how great he was in college. You saw it every single week in the SEC, and you're just waiting for that talent to come around.
You know, there's always guys, like, you can go get, you know, I mean, last year at safety, they got Antoine Bethea. Last year at linebacker, they got Josh Bynes. You know, they got Taylor this year. Like, there's always guys that you can get that know how to play. You know, I mean, there always is. You just look at their
history.
Trey Boston, right, who they just got a couple weeks ago. So, like, if Brandon Williams isn't going to work, man, there's a lot of guys sitting on the street right now that you can go get that are better.
No doubt.
They're out there.
Yeah.
That are better than him. I'm not saying that are comparable to Patrick Peterson, but guys that are better than what Brandon Williams is, you can find guys.
What a perfect transition into Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
There are always guys out there who are better. Dez Bryant is better. He's better.
He tweeted something out last night, and I mean, I heard about this, but I didn't see it. But it was the Cleveland game, like during the Cleveland game, because I think Cleveland was somewhat interested in Dez Bryant. So I think he tweeted something out like he's going to start making some visits right now.
Starting my visits next week.
Is that what he said?
I'm coming to the land to see you, Mr. Dorsey. That's what he tweeted last night. Yes.
Now this is where we'd say this all the time. This is where you start to panic. First preseason game's over. Okay, no, a lot of injuries, but I'm seeing wide receivers going out. So you start to like, I need to get a job. I need to get in camp. Like I missed a couple weeks. I'm okay, but now I need a job. So Dez Bryant is looking at it right now like I need to get a job. People are asking me, I know Doug and Wolf talked about it this morning, you know, would the Cardinals be interested in Dez Bryant? The answer is no, that they're not interested in Dez Bryant. They never have been interested in Dez Bryant. But there are people that say Dez Bryant's out there. What do you got? Chad Williams, Bryce Butler. Sherfield, Little. I mean, Dez Bryant's not better than those guys. They don't want Dez Bryant. So for whatever reason, they're not interested in Dez Bryant. Is he better than those guys? Maybe. I mean, he should be, right? Bryce Butler or Dez Bryant, who's better? You'd expect Dez Bryant's better than Bryce Butler.
Yeah, I think you could say he's better, yeah.
But they're not interested in Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, there are some players where, I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's a first-time head coach, and maybe that's asking a lot of a first-time head coach. Maybe that has nothing to do with it at all. Dez Bryant brings so much baggage with him. I mean, did you see him on Twitter? I think it was a week ago, where he was getting into a social media argument with Cowboy fans and Jerry Jones over.
Oh, they were saying this could cost him a chance to have a job this year.
Yeah, I mean,
they were saying that could cost him a chance.
Those are the bags that he brings with him wherever he goes. And I don't know, maybe, and I'm just hypothesizing here, maybe if you had a head coach who wasn't a first-time guy, you know, that it might be better equipped to deal with that in the locker room, or maybe the Cardinals have just decided as an organization, we just don't like guys like that. Just not worth the hassle, not worth the trouble. He's not worth the hassle anymore because he's not the same player that he wants. I mean, that's the whole reason why he let go from Dallas. I mean, he still thinks he's an elite wide receiver in this game.
He's not.
He's
probably better than some of the wide receivers the Cardinals have on their roster.
So here's the thing.
How much money does he want? I mean, is Dez Bryant going to play for the minimum? I doubt it.
There might not be anything worse in football than a diva wide receiver who's not good enough to be a diva anymore.
Right.
You can put up with a wide receiver who's a diva as long as you're doing great things on the field.
Oh, and even then, sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
You know, Chad Johnson and guys like that, it's not worth it.
At least you're more willing to put up with the nonsense as long as you're putting up numbers on the field that are befitting of a diva wide receiver. If you're going to give me the attitude and not the production, what the hell's the point?
Right.
There's no point. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Sando was on this morning with Bickley and Murata. He talked about Dez Bryant, says very difficult to have on a roster.
Even though the guys in Dallas, Stephen Jones and Jason Garrett, I think they've tried to have good relationships with him. It still didn't work. I was in Cowboys camp that day that Sean Lee had to come out and basically criticize Dez Bryant and say he needs to be more accountable. So there's other things that come along with having Dez Bryant on your team.
So let's just reiterate this. No interest from the Cardinals.
No, they never have. I've been asked about this before, and I keep saying no. And I know Doug and Wolf talked about it and brought it up today, and I got a couple of tweets on it, you know, on my Twitter account. And, you know, they're not interested. Dez Bryant's not coming to the Cardinals. I don't see a scenario in which that happens. I would be extremely surprised if that happens. I'm not saying they love the wide receivers they have. They could still look for a wide receiver as cutdowns come, but it's not expected to be Dez Bryant.
It was already a critical stretch of the season, but with today's news, are the Diamondbacks poised to go on a little bit of a run? Talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.